But to go before us. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would anoint your word, that you would fill us with the power of your Spirit, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would awaken our souls, our minds, that we would be totally concentrated on the Holy Scriptures, Lord. We pray, Lord, that our minds and our hearts will not wander away, Lord, but our minds will be totally centered on the Word of God, that you would bless us, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you be exalted and glorified, that your word will become real to our hearts and our lives, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians, we are going to continue on Ephesians chapter 4, continuing on verse 13 today. Remember, our study was on verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we saw verse 12, how I gave a topic last time when we went through Ephesians, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. For the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and to edify the body of Christ. Today we are going on verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here, the topic that I would give today is the purpose of the Christian. Last time we saw the purpose of the church. Today we are going to see the purpose of the Christian. I'm not talking of purpose for all men, but I'm talking here, the book of Ephesians is written to the saints, to the believers. And here we see the purpose of the Christian has to do with the question, for what purpose did God save me? If you think about from your perspective, well, what purpose did God save me? And to really, if you want to give one answer, just one short answer, God saved you for His glory, that you will glorify Him for the rest of your life. Now if you see verse 13, I'm going to break down section by section and go through verse 13. The first one is, it says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith. There are a lot of false teaching that teaches that one day all the churches will come into one faith, to one unity. Actually, if you see that today, in reality, you can see how we came. We got away from Roman Catholic Church, right? For thousands of years, we have been in darkness. People were not allowed to read the Bible in their own tongue. You know, only the priests can read the Word of God, and that was written in Latin, and not according to common man's language. And when somebody tried to translate to common man's language, they killed him. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church burned him. So here we see that we were the dark era, and now the church came out of it from the Reformation. God used Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others, the reformers. So we came away from that and brought the Word of God to our own language. And today, there are Bibles in every single language, anywhere in the world, and different translations and so forth like that. And God has blessed His Word. Now, what is happening again is the church is going back to Rome. And that's what's happening. There is an ecumenical movement that is all the churches are getting together and they're all going back to Rome. When I say they're all going back to Rome, they're not literally traveling to Rome, but they're going back to the doctrine of Roman Catholicism. That means, you know, and what happened past few days, you can see even some of the big Protestant leaders are praising the Pope. that is amazing. Roman Catholic Church killed and burned Christians. And so here, so there is a false teaching saying that everybody is going to be united and so forth like that. No, that's the true church is going to stand firm in Christ Jesus. God does not look the way man looks. God looks, you know, man looks outside, but God looks inside. And how we see, there are a lot of denominations all over, scattered all over. So, from the perspective of God, there's only one church. The believers who are scattered all over the world, God sees as, this is my church. Church is not a building. Church is not a denomination scattered all over. From the perspective of God, he doesn't see, this is my church. No, he sees one group of people who are believers, who are elect of God. That is the church. And now, because we are all baptized into the body of the church, okay, in Christ. Now the head of the body or the head of the church is not the Pope. If Pope is the head of the church, we are in big trouble right now, because there is no head now. He's dead and nobody has been appointed yet. So, have you seen a body without a head? No. But praise God that the church, the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. He governs the church. And he is the perfect one. Praise God. We got a head who is perfect. Who doesn't die. He lives forever. And he governs. And as he is perfect, he expects the church to be perfect. Because if the head is perfect, the body has to be perfect. You don't find a head perfect and an unperfect body. If Jesus is perfect, then his church is perfect. That's why Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So, here we see we have a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Lord. And it was He who came down from heaven to this earth. And He is the one who taught the disciples. And God spoke through His word. And here, He laid the foundation. He built the church on His foundation, on the rock of Jesus Christ, not on Peter. If the Lord build a church on Peter, we are in trouble. But on Christ and the apostles, the prophets, not on the doctrines of, not on the traditions of the church, but on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now, that's why the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, there is only one Lord and one faith, one baptism. From the perspective of God, there's only one church. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, here we are not talking of different laws, different faiths, and, you know, some people say, oh, it doesn't matter what religion you believe in, it's the same God. No, there's only one God, one faith. The unity of the faith is our identity. When we say the unity of the faith here, it is our identity as worshippers, that we worship the one and true living God. And also, it is the identity of that we believe in Jesus Christ. He is the only God. He is the only Savior. There is only one gospel and one body, that is the church. Therefore, we are God-centered, Christ-centered, Bible-centered, and grace-centered. Now, then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. And here we see the nature of the true faith. The Greek word here for knowledge is epignosis. It means knowledge that is being directed to a particular object on a person. The Greek word epignosis comes from another Greek word, ginosko, means to know and to understand and to realize. That means to know and come to know and to realize and to understand. So when he says here, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that means really to know him and to understand and realize who he is. Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth. That means absolutely you will understand the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free, because you understood, because you realized the truth. Because the Bible says, Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the truth, the way of the life. I am the door. So now when we talk of knowledge, usually, how do you get knowledge? You had to go to school. You got to read books. And you got to study under somebody else. So the knowledge will pass on. But here the biblical knowledge is not upon anybody's teachings, but upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's why. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Not on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a big difference between Christianity and all the other religions. And all the other religions, you will see their teachings in front and the teacher behind. But in Christianity, you find the teacher in front. He is the center. So this knowledge is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. The true knowledge is not only to have this knowledge, but to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, the Greek word ginosko means to know, realize, understand. It means to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the key to knowledge. Luke chapter 11, verse 52, Jesus said, Jesus said, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself that those who were entering in hindered. So Jesus is the key of knowledge. Knowledge does not come from the Roman Catholic Church, or from the Jehovah's Witnesses, or from any other spiritual religious organizations, or going to a Buddhist temple and getting into meditating on something. No, absolutely not. The key is Jesus Christ. He is the knowledge. The church is built on Jesus because he is the head. Just imagine, where do you think? You think from the head. He is the knowledge. And he's the one who died for the believers and made them new creatures. And we go to heaven because of Jesus, what he has done. And he's the one who is coming in glory back to the church. But to those who oppose him, he's going to judge them. Jesus is the center of the Bible. He is the center of the Bible. Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 39. He said, search the scriptures. Search them. For in them you think you have eternal life. But they are which testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the book, all the way to the end of the book, it is the center, the object, and the subject, everything is focused on Jesus Christ. Now, once we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will know Him. For the Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is the Michael the Archangel. He's an angel, a created person by Jehovah God. For the Mormon, Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Many of the people, they don't know that. I mean, a lot of times when the Mormons come, I ask them one question, just one, and I ask them, show me anywhere in the Bible that it teaches that Jesus is a brother of Lucifer. And up to now, they couldn't find it. They cannot find it. But if you ask a man on the street who Jesus is, they will say he's a good religious leader. And if you ask them, do you believe him? And many will say, yes, I believe in Jesus. If I ask you, do you know the President of the United States? Many will say, yes. I know the President is George W. Bush. Seen him on the TV. I heard him, his speeches, seen his photos. Of course, we know the President, but do you know him intimately? Have you talked to him? Have you been with him? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you have fellowship with him? No. It's the same with Jesus. Many say that they know him, but they do not have a relationship with him. Ginosko means knowledge. To have the knowledge of the Son of God means to understand and to realize and to know him intimately. Have a relationship with him. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3. 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's it. That means the most important thing is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ. To know them intimately, personally. That's the most important point here. Then Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfect man. Now when you read the scripture, it does look like when you have the knowledge of the Son of God, well, that we are going to be perfect. Have you ever seen a perfect Christian? How many perfect men are there today? That they are absolutely perfect. Of course, no. The Pope is not perfect. He died. And this is where the Greek word helps us. And this is where the Bible says very clearly, if you read there, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's what it says there. But this is where a little bit of Greek helps you to understand better. The Greek word is very useful. The Greek word that is used here is teleio. T-E-L-E-I-O. Anybody who have heard the word teleology? Teleology? It means the doctrine of final causes. It comes from the Greek word teleos, means the end or the final. So the Greek word for perfect is teleos. It doesn't mean flawless. It means that you're growing to the end, to the final. That means you're growing or finishing to the end. Growing and maturing to the end. That's the word that it means. Unto a perfect man, that you are going to grow to the very end and maturing to the very end. So our goal is what? Our goal is perfection. We will never attain that perfection on this life, but we have a goal that you will grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me explain a little bit about the process of Christian maturity. Before you were dead in sin, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were spiritually dead. You can turn to Ephesians 2:1 and see. Ephesians 2:1. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive. So, before you were dead in trespasses of sin and sins. So, what happened? When you heard the word of God, when somebody witnessed to you, or you heard the word of God, you were in darkness. You were dead. And suddenly, bang! Lights open. You could see. That's what happened. You became alive. Remember, when God, before, everything was dark, but God spoke the word, and suddenly things began to begin. He created everything out of nothing. In the same way, when God said, there shall be light, suddenly lights came. In the same way, you were in the darkness, and you heard the word of God, bang, everything opened, and the lights came, and you begin to see spiritually now. Before, you saw everything in a physical sense. Before you were dead in sin, as sin had dominion over you, dead to God, but now you are not dead to God, but now you are dead to sin and alive to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, big difference. Transformation. That's what happened. You began to know Jesus, you were like an infant, a baby Christian. Look at an infant. If you see an infant, you know, infant will grow. How do you grow? By milk. You don't give rice or steak to an infant. You got to give baby milk. Baby formula. So you grow in the milk. Now, if you look at an infant, a baby always crying. Toddler trying to walk and falling, get hurt. It is the same way when you grow as a Christian. You know, sometimes you don't understand why God is doing this. You're getting upset. And at the same time, you are reading the Bible, and you fall, you grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, 2. So when you are a new Christian, you will drink the milk of the word. And you may not be able to behave and act like mature Christians. You may fall, you may get hurt, but by the grace of God, you get up and study the word, and you will grow as a mature Christian. So Apostle Paul said, knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, it means that you are growing to be a mature Christian. To the goal of perfection, you are growing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Many of you know the scripture, 2 Peter 3:18. Said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. We will never be perfect in this life. but we will grow in perfection. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. Philippians 3:13. So Paul said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." That is growing. That is going upward. "I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And it says, "Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you." So the goal is to grow in Christ, forgetting all the other things. What you have, Christ, and look at Christ alone. Focus on Christ. Let Christ be the center in your life. Then first seek the kingdom of God. Then all the other things He will add on to you. Now, I made a little chart here, so you'll understand a little bit. You can see, all this is in the website. You can click and you can get the chart right away. First, there's a line going this way, and that is non-Christian. You're a slave to sin. Just going this way. Then suddenly there's a conversion, and you're dead. Now you stand up. You're up. You're alive. And there's a growing. This is a growth in holiness. And it's not a straight line going like that, but go up, down, like that. But if you take it as a whole, it's going up. Alright? So, there are some days, everybody have your times that, that you're kind of down and so forth like that. And there are some days you're great. So, because we are living in a fallen world. But, after you die, once you're dead, then comes perfectness. Then you are perfect. You know why? You're in heaven with Christ. You're not in a fallen world. You have got rid of this tent, this flesh, and this world. And you're in heaven. You're perfect. Back to Ephesians 4. Then it says, "Till all we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." When we grow till the end, we grow to the perfection of Christ. That means you're not an infant anymore. Now you're an adult. We cannot grow in perfect unless we have the knowledge that comes from God. Everything else, everything what we get out of this world is limited. If you are poor, you get a little. If you are rich, you get more. But if you are in Jesus Christ, you can be filled with knowledge. It doesn't matter. Even if you are poor and if you are in Christ, you can be rich in Christ. Because you can get filled in Christ. You can be filled with the knowledge without measure. Wisdom, love, and holiness cannot be measured. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Jesus said, Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." Wow. "How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out." The psalmist found an end to all human things. But we can never find an end when we speak of the Word of God. Psalm 119:96. "I have seen the consummation of all your perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." We can see the end of all human things, But we can never see the end of all things of God because they are perfect. There's a great spiritual fountain open for the believing Christian. Great spiritual fountain. As Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Wow. Amazing. Out of your belly. That means you are satisfied. You're so satisfied, you don't want to hear about Roman Catholicism. You don't want to hear about Jehovah's Witness. You don't want to hear about other things. You got the Word of God. You got Jesus Christ. And that's it. The goal of the Christian is to be spiritually minded, that we become strong in Christ and that we would have all the fullness in Him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness of God is in Christ Jesus. Now, you want to get full spiritually? As I said, Christ is the center of the Bible, is Christ. And once you come to Christ, once you get to His Word, you become full. Jesus, in the book of John, says, "In the beginning was the Word." When He says, "In the beginning was the Word," it doesn't mean there was a Word in the beginning. You know, Word, the way you think, W-O-R-D. No. "In the beginning was the Word" means He is... If you want to talk to somebody, how do you talk? You've got to speak the Word, right? You've got to speak the language. The same way, when He says, "In the beginning was the Word," it means the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, is the communication to man. He's the only way that God communicates to us, through Jesus Christ. He's a Word. He's an expression of God. That's what it means. And it's Jesus. All the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. And we must look only to Christ alone, because He is perfect without sin. Because He is perfect, you know, that the body is perfect in Him, that He is a perfect sacrifice. Because He is perfect and He wants us to become like Him. Look only to Christ, because He alone is to be adored. He alone is to be glorified. Because He is our Master, He is our Savior, He is our High Priest, He is our Lord, He is our Redeemer. Now, when we die, as I showed you here, we'll be perfect. Yeah. You're going to be perfect when you die. Not on this earth. Because we are living in a fallen world. And that's why in the book of Revelation, it says there, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, chapter 21, verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That is perfectness. No more crying, no more pain, and no more sorrow. In this world, there will be a lot of sorrow. And no more death. That is perfect. In John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." When He is revealed, then we are going to be like Him. Jesus in his bodily resurrection, he had a glorious body. But yet, you can identify him. When you die, people can, you will have the same identification, but you will have a glorious body. It is called, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a heavenly body. A heavenly body. No more pain. You will have a body. Okay? Because, but it's going to be perfect. We are going to be perfect. Forever. For eternity. Wow. So the perfection is found only in Christ. But how many times we in this world look for other things? How many times we are more concerned? We are not concerned, you know, talk about perfection of Christ. He's the fountain of the living water. All the treasures come out of him. He's our Redeemer. He's our Master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. But knowing all these things, how many times, when we get into our practical life, the only time that remember to read the Bible is when you come to church, can't find my Bible. And, you know, and because so many people are involved and their mind is focused on earthly things. They build their kingdom here. They think they are going to live forever. And if Christ is Lord, and if he is the Savior, and if you, it says here that he is, the Greek word ginosko means to know him, realize him, have an intimate relationship with him. That means you talk to him in your prayer. God will talk to you. How? Through his word. When you read the word, God will speak to you. And a lot of times, this is the will of God. And the will of God is opposing to your flesh and to the world. That means your flesh wants to do this. You know, I want to do this. And my desire is this. But the will of God is opposing to the flesh. The flesh and the word of God doesn't go together. It's an enemy. Always there's a battle there. And that's why, seek the Lord. And the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord. And this is a book. And seek the Lord out of this book. So important. And so, the lesson what we have in the book of Ephesians here, the lesson that we went through is that till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that means you become a strong Christian. That's how God wants you to be. Then you can glorify God. You can glorify God. And God is glorified. And when you become a strong Christian, who is a strong Christian? You know how you can identify somebody who is strong and somebody who is not? It's easy. The Christians who are weak, when something happens, circumstances or some a persecution or some hardship happens, they will flip. They will get into their flesh. And sometimes they cannot control themselves. But look at Jesus Christ. Look, when there's a storm in the sea and the boat, everybody thought, the disciples thought they were going to die. They got into their flesh and they said, oh, we are going to die. Screaming, shouting. There was Jesus sound asleep. Yeah, that's a strong Christian. When you go through heavy trials, tribulation, when things come, wow, I cannot take this anymore. Well, you can just sleep in Jesus. And also, you know, he's the only example that we can look into. Also, the crucifixion. When people pull his hair, pull his beard,
spit at him. He is the Son of God, the Holy One of God. And when people mocked at him, man, did he get mad? Not a bit. He was just gentle. That is strong. That is a strong Christian. Jesus said, if somebody hits you on one side of the cheek, give the other cheek. That is a strong Christian. That means you are not in the... That means a strong Christian, when you grow into maturity, the spirit rules in you. It's not the flesh that is ruling. That's the difference. A strong Christian is that you are led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is ruling, and the flesh has no control. You can come against the flesh, the flesh is under, the Spirit is above, and that the Spirit is ruling. When the Spirit is ruling, you are in the will of God. Otherwise, a lot of times, people are flip-flop. Spirit rules, you rule, Spirit rules, you rules. When you come to church, the Spirit is ruling. When you go home, the flesh is ruling. When you go to the prayer meeting, the Spirit is ruling. That's not the way. Christianity is a lifestyle. Always the Spirit rules. If God is glorified, there is power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. I'm not talking power like Benny Hinn. Blow and people fall. No. You're talking power means that you will be different. Change. That you will be able to live as an ambassador for Christ Jesus. And that you will be able to live as a light to the other people. That the Christianity, a lot of times you can talk about Christianity, but the best is to live. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us, saving our souls. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is given to us, so that we will be convicted of our sins and that we will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We pray and ask, Lord, that all what we heard today, that we will take into our hearts very dearly the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that we would treasure these things in our heart, that we would hide these things in our hearts so that we will not sin against you. Thank you for the encouragement in the Word of God. Lord, what an encouragement that looking in our Christian life, that one day we are going to be perfect. One day we are going to be with you. That one day there will be no pain. And one day there will be no death, no sorrow. Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. This is all because of not anything that we have done, any goodness that we have done, and not any merit or anything that we inherited. The only thing that we inherited is sin. Sin from Adam. But praise God that we inherited the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That His righteousness is imputed to us, charged to us. Because of Christ, that we can be strong. Through Christ, because of Him, that we become mature. Because of Christ, that we can be perfect. And that we give all the glory and the honor to you for what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.